been a good camp, hasn't it? Who's had a good time? Yeah? It's been really good to hang out with you guys and to dig into the Bible together and think about how it is that we fight idolatry. If you've been enjoying this series, I hope it's been helpful. But later on in the term, we're actually going to do the second half of this series at Senior High. So if you're not regular to Senior High, you might want to come along for the relationships you've been building, but also to keep learning about how to fight idolatry in your life. Mads, pray drum, I pray again that God will help us to concentrate. How about you pray with me? Our gracious Father, thanks for speaking. And please help us now to hear your word. Please help us to turn from the foolishness of worshipping scarecrows, that we would worship you, the true and living God. Please change us in response to your word now. Amen. Amen. What voice am I doing? Okay, I'm going to sing for you to start off with today, and I'm thinking Barry White. Who's heard of Barry White? Okay,
I'm going to sing some Barry White. He's sort of the sex god. Here it is. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
I think that almost sounds like Kamal. I'm sorry about that. Who's heard that song before? Not that version, but that song before, yeah. That's a song that was out when I was in year 8. And you know what? I didn't need to Google the words to find out what they were. I remembered them. It's tragic that it's embedded in my brain, words to such a stupid song by Salt-N-Pepa from the 1994. Today we're going to be reflecting on sex. We're going to talk about sex. Baby. Not you and me, we're just going to talk about it in general. And it's not a difficult thing to reflect upon, is it? You know, it's everywhere. Everywhere you look, it's in our songs. All of the songs that we listen to, most of them come back to sex. Sex is on our billboards. You've seen those longer-lasting sex signs. They're all over the city at the moment. It's on our computers, it's on the radio, it's used to sell chocolate biscuits. It's used to sell all sorts of things. It's probably scratched onto the tables at your school. It's everywhere. And so the question is, with so many negative things about sex spoken to us by our world, is God against sex? Is God against sex? Because with sex being used in so many terrible ways and in so many negative ways, the truth is that sex is also in the Bible. And we actually say that sex is a good thing, and that sex is a thing created by God. And so that what we're going to do as we look at 1 Thessalonians now together is we're going to ask the following questions. We're going to ask, rather than being shaped by negative views of sex, how can we actually please God with sex, and the way we think about sexuality and our sex lives and all that type of stuff? You got the question? Can we actually please God with sex, and how do we do it? How do we turn from the idol of sex to serve the true and living God? Now, I always need to do this in sex talks. Pop your hand up if you know where babies come from. Okay, for those that didn't pop their hands up, I'm not going to tell you where babies come from and all the mechanics of it. Ask your parents, okay? So this afternoon when you get dropped off at church and you get picked up, on the way home in the car, how was care? Mum. Where did that come from? Okay, I want you to ask that. Hey, even if you do know where you come from, ask it anyway, because that'd be a fun trip home. Vroom! Speeding on home. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul, the author of the letter, he approaches the issue of sex in two ways. In a positive way and in a negative way. And so firstly, we'll look at the negative way. And the negative way is, he says, to avoid sexual immorality. Have a look at verse number 3. It's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. What is sexual immorality? It's basically doing sex the wrong way. That is, not the way that God intended it to be done. And how did God intend it to be done? Well, God actually sets it up in the beginning. And he intended it to be something that was between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. So it's a man and a woman type of relationship. That's how he set it up. And so sexual immorality It's not just sexual intercourse outside of marriage. You got that? It's not just sexual intercourse outside of marriage. There's a whole bunch of steps along the way where you're probably pushing the boundaries, where you've probably crossed the boundary and you are committing sexual immorality. And so verse 3, he's saying avoid it. Avoid sexual immorality. And I think the idea of avoiding, it's picking up the idea of a deliberate action. Deliberately avoiding sexual immorality. And we know how to avoid stuff, don't we? We know how to avoid doing homework. We know how to avoid people we don't like at school. Maybe you walk on the other side of the corridor, or you may see someone in the shops that you don't like and you sort of just walk around the other side over there. We're good at avoiding things when we want to avoid things. We need to be those who are good at avoiding sexual immorality. It says in a bunch of other places too, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Don't look it up, but you might look it up later. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, it says, flee sexual immorality. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 says, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Ephesians 5, verse 3. Now, avoiding and fleeing from sexual immorality, the picture that I think of is a bit like a fire. You know, when you get to a fire, what do? You don't go closer and see how close you can get without... I've seen some of you do that over the last few days. But you're not supposed to go as close as you can without being burnt. What you're supposed to do is run in the opposite direction. Imagine a big bushfire that's destroying homes. You don't try and get as close as possible. You run in the opposite direction. We need to be those who flee and run in the opposite direction from being sexually immoral. In a fire, like, oh, you remember when you taught as a kid, how do you respond in a fire? You stop, drop, and you roll. Get down low and go, go, go. You get out of there. If you're at some party and some hot mama or some stud daddy comes up and says, let's do it, you run. Okay, you get out of there. You run down the street, you ring your parents, you go home, and you watch, I don't know, Home Alone or something like that. It is a good movie. Whatever happened to Macaulay Culkin? You guys don't even know who Macaulay Culkin is.
Oh, cool.
Okay, there's the first thing. Verse number 3, where to avoid sexual immorality. Deliberate action. That'd be a good thing to write down. Deliberate action. To run in the opposite direction of being sexually immoral, of doing sex the way God doesn't want you to do it. The second thing in verse number 4 is to control your body. See what it says there? That each of you should learn to control his own body. See how it says learn? I reckon the reason why it says learn is it's because it's something we need to learn. Because by nature, we're out of control. We'll go crazy. We're at that party and the dude comes up and we go, yes, let's go for it. We're out of control. We don't have self-control. We do not have control over our bodies. And we need to be those who keep learning to be self-controlled. And I reckon one of the ways that teenagers often lose self-control is when they're no longer under the influence of their normal mindset, normal brain. When you're under the influence of alcohol. So often at teenage parties, what's the combination? Well, it's alcohol leads to being sexually immoral, leads to regret, leads to being doing the wrong thing, not living how God wants you to live. And so you need to be different from other North Shore teenagers who week after week, weekend after weekend, make dumb decisions when they mix alcohol and then they do stupid things with their body. They've lost control of their body. You need to be those who have control of your body. And it might be that you need to put boundaries up in place that will help you to be self-controlled. You know, you don't put yourself in a situation where you're likely to sin. And so it might mean that you have such a great temptation to get drunk, and then what often happens when people get drunk is dot, 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 you may not go to those parties in the first place. It's not wrong to go to parties, but if you're going to go there and sin, it would be wise of you to put up a boundary and say, no, I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay at home and watch Home Alone again. And so in order to be self-controlled, in order to control our bodies, we need to flee in the opposite direction of the fire, in the opposite direction of sexual immorality. So that means if you've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, don't put yourself in a situation where you're likely to do dumb stuff. where you're likely to lose control of your body, where you're likely to let passions take over, where one thing leads to another thing, which originally started as a hand-holding thing, but you've taken a number of steps and you've almost got to home base. Now, it might mean that you don't hang out at each other's house when no one else is there. If parents are out or haven't yet got home from work, you don't hang out in each other's house while no one else is there. It might mean, even if other people are there, you don't have the door closed on the room. You have it so people can walk past. It might even mean you don't even hang out in a room. You sit in the lounge room or you sit in the dining room while everyone else is in the lounge room, so that it's not too weird having that intimate conversation. And we need to be deliberate. You need to be deliberate in putting up boundaries such that you will flee from sexual immorality, such that you will be able to control your body. Deliberate actions. It might also mean with TV. You might need to be self-controlling with TV and put up boundaries. You may make a rule for yourself that you won't watch TV without a Christian friend or without family around. Maybe you won't watch it at all because of the things that you often look at. Maybe you, like the film clips on a Saturday morning are terrible. They're soft porn. Saturday soft porn is basically what it is every single morning. You probably shouldn't be watching that type of stuff. I don't have a TV, and it's great not having a TV. Get rid of your TV if you can do that. You don't have to. But lately I've actually seen TV at some friends' places and so forth at about midnight, and I've been shocked. It's been 5 years since I've lived at home with my parents and had a TV and watched things. The commercials, you might be watching something that's quite, it's fine, like it's PG rated or whatever it might be at midnight, some comedy show or whatever it might be, yet the commercials are terrible. I'm seeing some nods. You guys have probably struggled with it. There's guys that are nodding right now who would probably struggle to change the channel at that point in time. It might mean that you don't watch TV by yourself at that time of night. It might mean you have to miss out on watching something that might be a good thing and an okay thing to watch, but you may put up a boundary and not watch that type of stuff. If you are one who struggles with pornography, my guess is I'm talking mainly to the guys here. You might have to set up some rules for yourself in the way that you use the internet. Laptops with wireless internet connections are dangerous. You might actually disable wireless internet action in your house. You might actually make sure you have to plug into a cable and therefore be out in the kitchen or wherever it might be. You might even have gone that far down the wrong path with internet pornography. Pornography? What's that word? Pornography. You might have gone that far down the road that you've got to just stop using the internet when no one else is around. Maybe you might have passwords that only your parents know. You might need to talk about it with your parents or an older brother or whatever it might be. If you're serious about living as a Christian, you'll flee from sexual immorality and you'll practice being self-controlled and you'll put up boundaries so that you will flee in the opposite direction. There's a bunch of internet filter type things that you can get that are very good. Something at XXXchurch.com. It's not a porn site. They advertise themselves as the number one Christian porn site, but it's not actually pornography. It's a brilliant site in helping Christians to combat porn and to fight it and to flee in the opposite direction from it. There's another site called Covenant Eyes. I think you pay for that one. But it's a very, very helpful one. The Bible college that I go to, I heard that a few years ago, there's committees at Bible college, and what they do is they help out different people with different things. And the guys on the computer committees, when they go and help someone with their computer, they were finding, like when someone's hard drive had crashed or whatever it was and they needed it to be fixed, it was something like, ridiculously, 70% of those guys had porn all over their computer. These are Bible college students. Guys that are studying the Bible, they're super Christians. Not that Bible college students are all super Christians, but people that you'd think are mature and have dealt with this type of stuff. And so what the college that I go to have done is they've got a subscription for every single student and faculty member for Covenant Eyes. And so we've all got an accountability friend. And so each week, a thing gets sent with the websites we've visited, and ones which might be a bit dodgy, or they may have had some keywords on them. Sometimes like the Sydney Morning Herald comes up and it says, just the front page or whatever it might be. But it's a helpful thing to do, to be accountable to someone else. And even for me, let me be personal for a moment. I personally, at the moment, I don't struggle with pornography. I don't have a temptation to go onto internet sites. I have in the past. But I feel like I've fought it. I've put up barriers. I've put up XXXchurch.com and all these different filters on my computer. And they worked. They're really good. By God's grace, I've been able to fight it. But this year, when we were told we were encouraged to put this covenantized thing on our computers, I was a bit, I don't know about this. But I thought, no, I need to. This is a good thing to do, even though I'm not struggling with it. Who's to say that in a few months' time, when the situation's different, I may not struggle with it? And so let me encourage you guys particularly, I guess there may be some girls who might struggle with this type of stuff, but it's particularly talking to guys, get accountable. Put up boundaries so that you can run in the opposite direction from porn, from sexual immorality, from not living how God wants you to live, from not being self-controlled. Likewise, this is probably a guy one as well. Girls, we'll talk to you in a moment. But masturbation, particularly guys, but again, I'm sure there are girls that may struggle with it. The Bible is silent on masturbation. And so I'm pretty certain that it's not some new thing that's only recently been thought up and it wasn't around in the Bible times. I'm sure guys have pretty much worked out how to do the, you know, back then. So it's interesting that the Bible is silent on it. So it's hard to say yes or no, you can or you can't. The problem, though, with masturbation is lust. More often than not, it's pretty difficult, I'm guessing, to masturbate without lusting, without having some type of image, whether it's on a computer screen, whether it's in a magazine, whether it's just some mental fantasy that you've got. Some have suggested that you try to think about something else, like a piece of fruit or something like that. I think that's a little bit weird. I'm not quite sure how that gets you going and all that type of stuff. But you know what? I don't want to say there's a definite, the Bible says you cannot masturbate, because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says do not lust. The Bible says be self-controlled. And so there might actually be, I don't know, some way that there is a way of relieving sexual tension or whatever it might be. The problem, though, is when it becomes a habit, when it masters you, when it becomes your God, when you run home from school because you want to get it on with yourself. That's the problem. When it becomes a habit, when it becomes something that you are constantly consumed by, something that you are lusting after regularly. I've got to say, if you're struggling with porn or masturbation or any of these things, talk to someone. There's a book by Josh Harris called Lust Isn't the Problem. No, sorry, Sex Isn't the Problem, Lust Is. It's brilliant. And he's got a chapter in there called No Lone Rangers. The point is, you don't try to go it alone. If you're a Christian bloke living in the 21st century with the internet, you've got to get accountable. You've got to talk to someone about this stuff. You can't think you're going to be strong enough on your own to be able to defeat the temptation and the idol of sex and lust. Talk about it with your leader. You might need to do that. You might put that high on your priority list to do after camp. But as people, both guys and girls, in different ways, we've got to learn. We've got to learn how to be self-controlled. We've got to learn how to be self-controlled. The next thing it says there in verse 5, have a look down there. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. Okay, very quickly, who knows what lust and love have in common? No, don't try to answer it. I don't think they have anything in common other than they both start with L and they both have four letters. That's pretty much where it finishes. Lust is not love. Got that? Lust is not love. Lust is when you treat someone else as a piece of meat, as a pleasure machine, as an object for your gratification. The call here is for us to be different from the world, who do not know God, the heathen who lust. We need to be different in the way that we think about sex. We need to be different from how our friends talk about it, do it, think about it, all that type of stuff. They don't know Jesus. We do know Jesus. We are to be different from them. I'm going to play you a song in two parts now. It's from Lauryn Hill. She's a rapper, hip-hop homegirl. And this is a song that's very insightful on the issue of lust and the issue of guys and what they're like and girls and what they're like. And I think there's some helpful insights we can get from it. So we'll listen to it for a little bit. Go! Yeah. 3 weeks and she was looking for your friend. The one you met and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to bend. Can you see the point she's making? We'll just go back to slide one there for a moment. Showing off your... I changed a few words if you didn't quite realise it then. Showing off your butt because you think it's a trend. Girlfriend, let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it because I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem. She's basically saying, girls, don't be idiots. Or you're being idiots and stop being idiots. Have a look a little bit further down. Is it on that page? Page two it is. It's silly. It's silly when girls sell their soul because it's in. Look at where you be in hair weaves like Europeans, fake nails done by Koreans. Come again. Come again, come again, come again. You see what she's saying? Don't be a tart, girls. Think about what you wear when you walk out of your doorway for a party, for the weekend, for senior high, for wherever it might be. Don't dress up like the world dresses up. Because even just because it might be cool, just because everyone else is wearing those particular clothes, just because it's the in thing, don't wear those things. Don't dress that way. Don't dress up like a hooker. Guys, you know you better watch out. Some girls are only about that thing, that thing, that thing. She's saying, guys, watch out for these chicks. So there's a warning here from Lauryn Hill. We're not just hearing from the Bible today. We're hearing from Lauryn Hill. She's saying, guys, watch out for these chicks. They're only after one thing.
Sex.
They're only after one thing. That's what they're after. Guys, if girls are acting anything like this at youth group, or even just girls at school, do the stop, drop, and roll. Get out of there. Run in the opposite directions. Just go away. I'm not saying be mean to them. Encourage one of your Christian sisters, guys, to actually go and talk to them and become friends with them and encourage them to think about how they're living. Girls, if you want to one day marry a godly guy, don't dress like a hooker. Don't dress like the world. Don't be like the models that you see in the magazines. Maybe you shouldn't even be buying those magazines in the first place. Don't be like the famous movie stars who go from one guy to the next guy to the next guy, who wear this stuff and wear that stuff, and there's an expose here because we've got pictures of them topless or whatever it might be. Keep your clothes on, and keep the clothes that you've got on sensible. Wear a sack, something like that. No, you don't have to wear a sack. It's okay to look okay. But don't look like a hooker. Don't look like a tart. Ladies. I feel funny saying we. You. Ladies, we need to. Who is it you're looking up to? Is it the magazine cover? Or have you actually got women in your life, godly women, maybe you don't have them at home, and you need to look for it at youth group or church or wherever it might be, godly women in your life who dress and act in a godly way, who aren't hookers, who are actually on about Jesus and on about being godly. Guys, look out for the ungodly ones, the ones that are dressing like that. And girls, don't be those people. Don't behave like the heathen who do not know God. I think we're up to the second part. Let's hit play.
The second verse is dedicated to the man called concerned with his rims and his tims and his women. Him and his men come in the club like hooligans. Don't care who they can play, pop your gang. Let's not pretend. The one that back pissed out by the basement, pissed out by the casement. Little name of the space, it's a pretty basement. Claiming that they did a bit.
You see the reverse point? She's just had a bit of a dig at the women and said, guys, look out for these women and stay away. Now she's saying, here's some tools. Here's some guys who are idiots. Girls, stay away from these guys. You see I love that first line. She's a good rapper, isn't she? There's so many words in there, I've got no idea what they mean. But I've worked hard at understanding some of them. The second verse is dedicated to the men. More concerned with his rims, so his wheels, his car, and his Tims. that is women. Okay, that's the type of men we're talking about. Guys that are in love with themselves. The ones we talked about the other day, who were there doing the kissing their biceps at the gym. The ones who are in love with themselves, more in love with their car and their things. Basically, all of the stuff on that page there is saying that men are after sex. He thinks with his, not with his head, not with his feet, but about halfway in between. His penis. That's what it's saying. Most men think with their penis. That's how they think. They're on about sex. It's true that guys think about sex all the time. Okay? And worldly guys and guys like this think about it too often. The next page, page number four there, we've got the sneaky silent men, the punk domestic violence men. That's a good rhyme, yo. The quick to shoot the seam and stop acting like boys and be men. How good are Boys to Men? Do you remember them at all? Yeah. They were a good band. You know, these men that have been described in this poem, they aren't men at all. What are they? They're just little boys. They don't have self-control. They don't flee from sexual immorality. They're not behaving as men. Girls, just understand, seriously, that this is how most boys in the world think. And if this is how a guy at this group is behaving, stop, drop and roll. Run in the opposite direction. If he's interested in you, just sort of move away and get one of your Christian brothers to go and talk to him. Guys, if you one day want to marry a godly girl, you've got to be godly. You don't be like the guy that's described in this song. And the guys that I know, you all know. You know the people that have been described here. You know, the world doesn't revolve around your man bits. It revolves around Jesus. It's about him. If you want to be a winner, how are you going to win? You don't treat girls like objects for pleasure. And so when you become a Christian, we're actually going to treat girls like sisters. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2. We're to treat girls, our sisters in Christ, like our sisters. You don't go and pass your sisters, and you don't go and hook up with a different one of your sisters each day. If you want to be a man, you're going to learn self-control. You're going to be not like the men of the world. Girls, you better watch out. If there's guys that are all about that, stay away. And guys, just don't be those guys. Be different from the world. And so back to the passage, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Have you got the point? If you want to avoid sexual immorality, you need to be self-controlled. And you need to live in an appropriate way that is different from the heathen, from the world who do not know Jesus. And then quickly have a look at verse 6. There's a couple other things before we move on to the positive one. Verse 6. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. You know, if you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend at the moment, the chances are that you probably won't marry them. That might shock you. And so therefore, the person that you're... the chances are, that doesn't always happen. People meet at 16 and go out at 16 and some get married, but not often. And so what it means is, the person you're currently going out with might one day actually be someone else's husband or wife. And so you're wronging your brother, who eventually marries her, if you go too far. If you're touching spots that are normally covered by underwear, you shouldn't be touching them. You know, doing everything except for the final sexual immorality, intercourse thing, you've wronged your brother. You've wronged her. Keep your hands to yourselves. They're going to be someone else's breasts, not yours one day. That was funny. Verse 6. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we've already told you and warned you. God's going to judge. We need to take this word this morning seriously. Because we're going to all have to stand before the throne of God and give an account for the way that we've conducted ourselves with regards to the idol of sex, with regards to sex and relationships. You can't escape from God. You may not be accountable on the internet because you haven't got an accountability buddy. You may have the door closed and no one else can see what's going on behind that closed door. But who are you kidding? God sees everything. Psalm 139. God knows everything. You're not going to hide it from Him. He knows what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're saying, what you're watching. Let's keep going. Verse 7. For God did not call us to be impure. God didn't call Christians to live the old way of life, to live a dirty life, not like dirt as in physical dirt, but in impurity, an impure way of life. Christians are not meant to be like the world, who thrive on being impure. You know, the radio stations we listen to, even the ones that are supposed to be more mainstream ones, they thrive on impure talk. With the breakfast host and the afternoon host and the talkback and all that type of stuff, they thrive on dirty jokes, on impurity, of sexual innuendo, whether it be those who are different. And finally, in verse 8 there, therefore he who rejects this instruction does not reject men, but God. You see, if you reject this message this morning, if you reject the words that are in this passage, you're actually rejecting God. You're rejecting the true and living God for a scarecrow, to worship an idol called sex. Brothers and sisters of Senior High, listen to the word of God this morning and avoid sexual immorality. Don't try to get so close to the fire without being burnt. Run in the opposite direction from it. Here's the negative side. Here's the positive side. The positive side is that God calls us to live a holy life. A good way of living, God's way of living, the best way of living. You see, God isn't against marriage. God isn't against sex. Genesis chapter 2, he made it. Okay, and it was good. And it's an appropriate thing, and it's an appropriate way to express certain feelings and certain emotions and certain, you know, God made it. But to be expressed in the appropriate context. And so in verse 3 there, it says, it's God's will that you should be sanctified. So God's will for you. I don't know if you've thought about that question before. What's God's will for my life? Well, here's one thing of God's will for your life. To be sanctified. To be set apart. You are one of God's chosen people. One of God's special people. And he wants you to be special. He wants you to be different. God's call on your life is to be different. Is to be light. Is to be salt. Is to be distinct. And then have a look at verse 4. We had that each of you should learn to control his body in a way that is holy and honourable. You see, the way that God wants us to live is a holy way to live. It's a positive way to live. It's an honourable way to live. It's honourable for us. It's honourable for you. But mostly it honours our God. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will honour God on the day that he visits us. You see, when we live differently with regards to sex, when we turn from the idol of sex and live differently, holy and honourable lives, we're actually bringing glory and honour to our Creator God. And verse 6, remember it talked about how God will judge. The good news is that even though God will judge, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. You might have been sitting here for the last 25 minutes this morning, feeling really bad. You may have been convicted by God's word this morning that you're not living how you should be regarding your thought life, regarding the things you're doing, regarding the things you're saying, the sites you're visiting, whatever it might be. This isn't just a negative message. The good news is that even though God judges, he has offered us forgiveness in his son Jesus. That is the Christian gospel, the good news of Jesus. That perverts, that depraved people can be brought from death to life. I'll quickly get you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Keep a finger in 1 Thessalonians. verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So again, that passage there repeats that people will be judged for living perverted lives, for being sexually immoral. But you see what he says to the church in Corinth? He says, that is what some of you were. That is, they've been rescued from that. They've been justified. They've been sanctified. They've been made new. They've been cleansed. They've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. The good news this morning is that no matter what you've done in the past, the offer of God to you in the cross is one of forgiveness for any sexual immorality. That is what some of you were. Back to 1 Thessalonians. And so in verse 7, it talks about, for God did not call us to be impure, but what did God call us to do? He called us to live a holy life. Again, I don't know if you've thought about the question before, or what's my calling in life? You know, as you start to think about leaving school and stuff like that, and what's your calling, what's your career going to be? Well, first and foremost, your calling is to Jesus and to live in a holy life, to be different, to turn from the idol of sex and to live for God. And finally, have a look at verse 8. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who what? Gives you his Holy Spirit. God has given us his Holy Spirit. For the believer, for the person who has their trust in Jesus, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And so it means we're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit to help us in our fight, in our struggle in this world. And just as a word of an encouragement, if you are currently struggling with this stuff, I think that's good, actually. It actually is a sign that God's Spirit is at work in you, that you're struggling with it. God is working in you by His Spirit, that you don't want to look at those websites. You don't want to lead guys on with what you wear or what you say or how you lead them on or whatever it might be. When we struggle, it means God is working in us. And so if you're not struggling, well, there could be a chance that maybe you're losing the battle and you don't even realise you're in a struggle because you're happy to worship the idol of sex. You're not even trying to turn from it. But the fact that if you are trying to turn from it and recognise it as a problem, it could well be a sign that God's Spirit is at work in you. How good would it be if senior high was a place where rather than thinking like the world, rather than thinking about who my next girlfriend or boyfriend would be, rather than continually pushing the sexual boundaries closer and closer, that this were a community where it's all about spurring each other on to holy living, spurring each other on to living differently because of Jesus. Rather than being preoccupied with sex, let's be those who are preoccupied with godliness and encouraging each other to be godly. And so I'm not going to say don't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, because I think if I say that, you'll probably go out and do it. And there'll be passion happening on the bus on the way back to Savo, and everyone will be hooking up left, right and centre, year 11s down with year 10s, all that type of stuff. So I'm not going to say don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend. But you know what? If you are going to go out, you aren't yet ready to get married, so don't get too serious too soon. Don't get too intimate. Even reading the Bible and praying together is an intimate type of thing. It's pretty sexy. It's possibly more intimate than some physical touch may be, praying with someone. Don't get too physical. Don't do any of those things too quickly. But be godly, because remember, you might be currently dating someone's future wife or husband. So again, guys, give your hands to yourselves. They might be someone else's breasts in the future. It might mean that you might wait a bit before you start dating and just be friends with a whole bunch of people. But you're going into dangerous territory. We're no longer in primary school. Remember the primary school thing where I get my friend Doug to go and say to Stacey's friend Steph. Doug goes over to Steph and says, Steph, can you ask Stacey if she'll go out with Dave? And then Steph says, I can't remember the name. Stacey says to Steph, yes. And then Doug comes back and says, yes. And anyway, for the next 2 weeks, we don't talk. We make no eye contact whatsoever in class. And then on our 2 week anniversary, Stacey comes over to Doug and says to Doug, Doug, can you say to Dave that you're dropped? And Doug comes over to me and Doug says, Dave, you're dropped. And I go, oh, well. And it's all like, that's the primary school thing. We're no longer talking about primary school. We're in high school. We're getting towards the end of high school. We're young adults. Things are a bit more serious. So you need to be a bit more careful. More emotions, more stuff is invested than when you're in primary school. Let's close. As you are, ask yourself the question, who are you trying to please in life? This relates to a couple of days ago. Is it yourself? Is it your own sexual fantasies? Or is it God? Because the Lord God is a jealous God for you. He desires you to find ultimate pleasure in Him. And so let me urge you this morning to turn from the idol of sex and serve the true and living God. Can we please God with sex? We can. We can avoid sexual immorality, and we can live a holy life. Very, very quickly, just have a look at verse 1 and 2. Purposely left it out. But here's what it says. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. See, the church in Thessalonica, they actually were living to please God. And so the encouragement from the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica is, just keep doing that more and more. Keep pleasing God and not yourselves. Keep thinking about how you can be holy and honourable with the way that you conduct yourself. And so my guess is there's lots of you here who are already fighting against that idol. And so don't hear this morning some big, bad, negative message that you suck. My message to you is keep turning. Keep your back turned on the idol of sex. And keep pleasing God above all else. At the start, I quoted a song I can remember from 15 years ago. I just want to quickly ask you, what is it that you can remember really well? Maybe it's passwords, maybe it's song lyrics, maybe it's movie quotes, whatever it is. What is shaping you? What is it that's in your head that's shaping you? Because I want to encourage you to commit the scriptures to memory. Yeah? That's what's going to help us in our battle. That's what's going to help us in our struggle, is remembering the word of God. Don't let the world dictate you with regards to sex and relationships. Don't let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Commit it to memory. And here's a good one that you could start with. That's not the right one. I put the wrong one on there, but I think I know it. How does 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9 start? For they tell how you turn from idols to serve the true and living God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, who rescues us from the wrath to come. That'd be a really good verse to get in your head as you're confronted with a whole bunch of idols, but particularly self, particularly stuff, particularly sex, at the end of this week. And then I pray. Now, gracious God, we thank You for challenging us from Your word over the last 4 days. We thank You for the way in which You have spoken to us clearly through the scriptures. And we pray that we wouldn't ignore this word, that we would know that it is a word from You, and to ignore it is to ignore You. Please help us as we fight against the idol of self, the idol of stuff, and the idol of sex. Please help us to be accountable in our relationships. Please help us to be putting up barriers. Please help us to be self-controlled. Please help us to flee from sexual immorality. Father, I thank You for all these people here. And thank You for the many who are doing that now. And I pray for them, and we pray for all of us, that You would help us to do that more and more, to seek to please You above all else. And we pray that You'd help us to wait for Jesus, Your Son, who rescues us from the coming wrath. We praise You for Jesus, and pray that we would worship Him as our true and living God. That's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen.